at verse 6. Deuteronomy 13:6. I want to start there. You want to know what you got yourself into when you quote unquote join the church. Deuteronomy 13, starting at verse 6. If you have it, can you say amen?
Amen.
If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. Are you there? I just want to speak briefly around the theme of choice of friends. Who's your friend? Who is your buddy? A choice of friends. Let's see what the Bible says here now. If your brother, the son of your mother, or thy son, now you know that song, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is thine own soul, that's your cut buddy, your ace spoon coon, your corner boy, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people that are all around about you, see, nigh unto thee or far off from thee, from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him. Y'all read this. See, God ain't no free spirit. Amen. Let me read that. Nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thine eye pity him. Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Wow. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death. Afterwards, the hand of all the people. Thou shalt stone him with stones that he die. Why? Because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. If someone were to try to lead an Israelite away from the God of the Bible, the instructions were stone him to death. Suppose it was my mom, she gotta go. Suppose it was my brother, gotta go. Suppose it's my child. See, our concept of church and relationship with the Lord is a little warped. We are under the impression that everything goes. Anybody can come in and look. It's a freebie. You do whatever you want. And God is up there over the clouds, smiling down on his children. And all of them are his children. I'm sorry, Larry. It's not so. See, a moment ago, the little children were singing joy bells ringing in my soul. Everyone couldn't sing that. Because everyone in here does not have the joy of the Lord. See? And God wants you and me to have the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that joy doesn't depend on what you have in your wallet, pocketbook, or in the bank. It rests upon your relationship with Him. Now, someone whispered in your ear, and someone talked you and put so much garbage in your ear that when it came time to worship the God of the universe, you just sit there. While you were praising him, God could have taken care of your bills. While you were praising him, he could be stopping that cancer that just walked in to your body. But somebody that you thought was a friend has filled you with so much gook and garbage that you don't know when to talk up versus when to shut up. And we look at some folks, you know, making a noise. But let's have understanding. Like the man said, you know, well, you don't say much. I understand. You cool and together. But if you've been through what I've been through, you be shouting too. See? So, Moses warned you. Now, some of us have cars that we pay good money for. And if someone comes up and bumps into your car, you know, all that plastic and stuff, and dents it, you almost ready to take their life for denting your car. If someone breaks into your house, if the Lord don't hold you, you're subject to kill them for touching your stuff. Don't let someone come in here with a bag of $5 bills. and give everyone a $5 bill but you. You be ready to take action. You take action over your car, your house, your money. But where your soul is concerned, you'll let folks come in and rob you of your joy, your strength, your provision, and you sit back and let them day after day run down and talk about the God that brought you out. And they get you into that attitude by talking about other church folk. And you get so filled up with what other church folk are doing that you miss what God has done. So that when you come to the worship service, when you come time to lift the Lord up, you're so filled with the latest gossip that you sit there stewing in somebody else's juice. You really don't even know why you're mad. A good portion of us do not even know why we're upset. Somebody told you something and you play that tape until your nerves, your whole disposition is out of whack. Wrong choice of friends. Now I ask you to get next to a Bible. I'd like you to turn, if you will, to the Gospel of St. Matthew. Let's get some understanding. Matthew chapter 12, around verse 48. Let's start at verse 46. 12:46. The Lord is on his earthly journey. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak to him, with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Say, who is my brother? Who is my mother? Who is my friend? The one who does the will, the Lord said, of my heavenly Father. That's the concept that you come into. Let me explain that. You say that you're saved. You say that you're a member of the church. You even say on occasion that you love God. Peter thought he loved the Lord too. Till he went back to his fishing. And the Lord went down to the lake and said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? The Lord called Peter to be a fisher of men. But he had gone back to fishing, which is what he was doing before he met the Lord. Do you love it? Let's ask a question this morning in a simplified way. Are you living for God? I'm not talking about going to church. Do you really love it? Well, let's go over a little checklist and see where you stand. Amen. Are you sure of your salvation? Did you just go back in the deacon's room and say, I want to be baptized? Did you ever call on the name of the Lord? There's nothing in this water to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sometimes we end up with a church full of sinners calling themselves saints because very often they got into the church without confessing Christ. They get on the choir stands, usher boards, and what's in them comes out. Are you sure of your salvation? Are you really, really, really saved? No, let me put it this way. Do you know it? Secondly, have you taken a public stand for Christ? Do they know that you know him on your job? Do you just go with the flow? You know how you feel. The brother say he love you, but he only want to see you at night. And doesn't want to introduce you to his relatives, his friends, and his family. You say you love him in here. Do you introduce him to folks out there? See, there's more to this than sitting in the pew. See, I don't mind sitting around either, just saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. But if your faith is right, you're going to tell somebody. You're going to talk some stuff. Amen. And you're going to walk something too. Amen. Next, have you turned from all that is wrong? Yes. Now that the lifeguard has pulled you out of the shark-infested waters, does he have to tackle you to keep you from jumping back in? Have you turned from all that you know is wrong? See, the point is that when you meet God, he is so awesome that you almost automatically turn from something by the very fact that you met God. I heard that basketball coach say something like this the other night. The president was watching. He said, "This is, it don't get any better than this." He said, "I won a big basketball game, and the president of the United States came to watch me coach and watch my team play. And after we won, the president came down to the floor and hugged that man." Mm-hmm. And he was a different complexion from the coach. They say all the television sets in the South turned off. When that white man hugged that black man, That's right. See, but if the president hugs you, that's something. That's something to talk about. But this morning, the God of the universe has hugged you, dwells in you, walks with you, talks with you. And the very fact that he's there with you means you're going to turn from something. I don't think anyone here is sitting as perfection. But there ought to be some things you used to do that you don't do anymore. Just by virtue of God being with you. Amen. Amen. Now, how much time you spend in Bible study? How can you have all this love and not read his love letters? Who ever heard of that? In love and don't even talk to one another? When they court and you can hardly get them apart. Talk on the phone for hours. In love. Send letters to one another. Read the letter. Put it away. Then take it out and read it again. Amen. Well, the Lord is the lover of my soul. He sent me a letter. I read it. Then when I pray, I talk back to him. He talked to me. And I talk to him. And the more he take me through, the more talking I want to do. I can't get over this. You have a problem? Talk to him. He solves it. Gives you joy. Unspeakable. Gives you the peace that passes all understanding. Didn't cost you a dime. Didn't cost you a dime. It didn't cost you a dime. It cost you more to make a telephone call than it does to pray. And I'm so dumb that if he blessed me, I'm going to keep on asking. If I get an answer, I'd be dumb if I stop praying. If you love him, if you know him, you're going to spend some time in his word and spend some time praying. In fact, time's going to come when your whole life's going to become a prayer. So I'm speaking to young folks now, and because all y'all are young, see, children of God, and you feel your muscles, and, you know, you're into aerobics. But as you get older, you're going to find you're going to pray more and exercise less. And one day it's going to be all prayer. Amen. So you get into talking to the Lord. Amen. And it's so nice that you don't want anyone interfering with your relationship. That's why when you get on your knees to talk to the Lord or whichever posture, because you can pray running, you can pray flat on your back, and pray leaning on one side, you can pray upside down. Just pray. But if you talk, if you ever had a conversation with him, it's so sweet that when something comes between you and the Lord, you want to get rid of that thing. So when he wants to correct you, he doesn't have to hit you with a hickory stick, or all he has to do is be a little quiet. You know when your prayer is bouncing off the ceiling. You know when it's not going through. That's when you have to stop and say, Lord, search my heart. If you see anything on the inside, that's coming between me and you. Move it right now. If it's my father, if it's my mother, if it's my brother, if it's my sister, our relationship is too sweet. So you turn from everything that's wrong, spend some time in Bible study and prayer. Then if you love them, you're busy in the service of the Lord. You're out there soul winning. You're helping with the children. Singing in the choir. Teaching Sunday school. You're visiting the sick. Trying to do something for folks who are less fortunate than you are. Just telling you what's going to happen when you meet him. If this is not taking place in your life, then you better look and see why you're not involved. And whoever is keeping you from doing these things, you better make a decision quick, because they are not your friends. Just like this. I should be in the Word. I should be witnessing, should be singing, should be helping and going. But I keep listening to you every day. And you call me up on the phone and everything you say is negative. So instead of spending time in meditation in the Word of God, I keep listening to you. And so instead of being busy for God, I'm now tied up with a bunch of garbage. You know, Brother Apple, he ain't no good. Ain't nobody no good. Well, the truth is, you're right, ain't nobody no good. But they ain't gonna get no better either. Till God is ready to make them better. And it's not going to make you better pointing out that they worse. So now, instead of getting busy for the Lord, you're cooking gossip. And the result of that is severe frustration. You don't want to hang with the church folks. You're not busy for the Lord. It's called the third tongue. It's got your spirit tore up to the point where you now come to service and you just sit. And rigor mortis is setting in. Not so much physically, but spiritually. And when the inner man goes, it won't be long before the outer man goes. Arthritis, neuritis, bursitis, take your pick, it's coming. Your problems, your frustrations will be solved as you do something for the Lord. So busy for him that I don't have time to worry about myself. And as I'm working for the Lord, as you go for God, he will add some things to your situation. When you look up, you find that leg don't hurt as much as it did. You don't have headaches like you used to. Because you've gotten busy for the Lord. Are you there now? Now, let's look at this and then we're going to get out your way. In Deuteronomy 13:6, he says, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or the friend which is thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, Moses is saying you should put them to death. See, that's Old Testament. And it's under the law. See, because anyone that gets you to worship a false god is bringing emptiness of vanity into your life. And worshiping something or someone else other than the God of the Bible will bring immorality and violence into your life. In other words, your relationship with your wife or your husband rests heavily upon your relationship with the Lord. If you get right with God, you'll be right with your wife. Because God puts His love in you. It's hard for a woman to resist a husband who loves her like the Lord Jesus. Now y'all don't want to talk back to me. So if you want the marriage to work, get that husband and wife to treat each other like the Lord Jesus treat the church. You know, just follow the biblical principle. If I want to mess your marriage and your family up, I'll come in with some gossip, get you talking about each other's faults and failures, run down the church, close up the Bible, you'll be in a divorce court. I don't need you to come and tell me what's wrong with my wife and kids. I don't need you to come and tell me what's wrong with my husband. I need you to come and tell me what God says in His Word. Oh, and you, and like the Bible says, you can't, I can't, by thinking, you can't change not a quarter of an inch in your body. If a change is going to take place, the Lord has got to do it. If you married a bum, you're going to be a bum till the Lord change you. But if you leave him on that altar, you put the blood on him, put the word on him, send the Holy Ghost after him, God will fix it. And he can come home and you can bark at him, argue with him. Amen. But if you're talking to a refrigerator, ain't nothing going to change. He's a refrigerator. If he a monkey, he going to be a monkey till you change the monkey ways. And you can't do it. God has to do it. Amen. It's when you trying to fix it and you don't know where to start to fix it. You didn't make him the way he is. He was that way when you married him. Whole bunch of stuff happened before you met him. He was all messed up before you met him. But you fell in love with love. Now reality comes. But the things that are impossible with man is possible with God. So if I love you, when I call you on the phone, I'm going to say, let's pray. Let's pray about the situation. I got a verse for you. Fret not yourself because of evildoing. You know what I mean? Lean on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You don't need me to run your husband down or your wife down. You need to be encouraged in the Lord. And if I'm your friend, I'm going to lift you up in the Lord. And so Moses, if they come around here telling you, discouraging you from the things of God, they're not your friend. If this is my last time talking to you, it's all right. But you fall in love with some guy that don't want to take you to church, you in trouble. Every time he come around, he want to take you someplace. Every place he want to take you is not church. You not blessed. Amen, life. Trying to take you from the God who made you pretty. Take you from the God who made you beautiful. Trying to take you from the God who gave you a testimony. Virtuous woman of God. God has cleaned you up and fixed you up. Made you respectable. want to take you out someplace and leave you on the highway. That's no friend. Now, if you have your Bible, so I can get out of here. Turn to the Gospel of St. Matthew. Matthew, New Testament, chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Let's see what you got yourself into here. Matthew 10. Let's take a look. Let's start at verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Check this out. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Where'd you get all this Christian recreation? The Lord has said, I'm going to set you against the relatives of your own family. Your own family, y'all. And you got to love him more than your father and your mother. This is some rough stuff. All right. Let's take a look at Luke. Maybe Matthew made a mistake. Let's take a look at the Gospel of St. Luke. Chapter 14. Luke 14. Starting at verse 25. Luke 14, 25. And there went great multitudes with him. See, great crowds. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He said, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply he that after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it. All that beholder begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and is not able to finish. See, he's saying you should account the cost. Amen. To follow him means you could lose father, mother, sister, brother, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, lose it all. He's not saying, come unto me, all ye labor heavy laden, and I'll give you a fiancé. He's saying, you might have to leave them all. He said, I come with a sword. I'm going to cut your family up. What he said, I'm going to do so much in your life. I'm going to fix you so good that you won't let anybody get between you and me. Look at this thing. Matthew, Mark. Let's go back to Mark. Because maybe Luke didn't hear. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Let's start at verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Are y'all there? Turn to chapter 10. Mark 10. I'm going to get out your way. I know you're ready for me to get out your way now. Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. Mark 10, 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, are you there now?
Yes.
Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or fathers or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You may have to leave it all for the Lord Jesus, but it doesn't mean you're going to be lonely. If I have to leave father or mother, he's got a replacement for me. Hey, hey, hey! Wait a minute now. Let's turn back to Matthew. Maybe Mark was a little emotional. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. See if he just said it once. See, you might have an out, but he says it more than once. Matthew 19, starting at verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? What will I get for following you? And Jesus said unto them, verily, that word verily means truly, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken, that means leave, houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. See, he's saying you might have to leave something for his name's sake, but you haven't lost anything. For his name's sake, if you walk out on me because of the Lord Jesus, you weren't my friend in the first place. The true test of your love for me is how much do you love Jesus? And Moses said, well, look, if they would turn you from the God who brought you, kill that relationship. Don't waste time with folks who ain't going where you go. How can you have all that deep conversation with someone who doesn't know the lover of your soul? How can you sit in the same house day after day, unequally yoked, can't even sing a hymn, can't share a Bible verse, can't share your testimony? How can that be so nice? How can you accept me without accepting the one who's in me? How can you love me so much and not care for the one who brought me, who taught me, and made me what I am? Well, you don't want to talk back to me, but you need to know who your real friends are. If my mama keep me from Jesus, she's not my mom. If my daddy's in my way, he's not my dad. Time with me. When you turned up your nose at me, he invited me in, made me feel at home. I'm not going to drop him because I met you. I'm going to hold on. Yes, sir. I'm going to hold on because I know what he done for me. He picked me up, turned me around, planted my feet on solid ground. Hey! He saved me. He raised me. He bought me. He taught me. The psalmist said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He's my father. Hey! I come to tell you, I don't know about you, but there's not a friend. There's not a friend. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus, he knows all about our trouble. Hey, 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 hey. He'll stick by you when the going gets tough. He'll be there when the going gets rough. What a friend. What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sin and griefs to bear. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege it is to carry, not something, not something, but everything, everything, everything. Everything. To God in prayer. Moses said, if anybody comes in or comes around you that would turn you from the God of your fathers, The God that you know has brought you out, has been your protector, provider, sustainer, the one who's kept you and brought you from your earliest existence up to this present time. Somebody try to keep you from him or turn you from him. Moses said, put him to death. Well, we not into that. Oh. No, sir. But don't put up with that relationship. I don't know about you. I don't even know whether you know him or not. I know there are times that I've had to say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help. No other help. No other help. Nobody. Nobody. No other help. I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? He's my choice for a friend. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Amen. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Picked me up. Told me to run on. Hallelujah. Praise his name. A whole lot of funny business going. Folks joining all kind of cults and wrapping themselves up in sheets and walking around like the Arabian Nights. But I know him for myself. I know him for myself. And he's been too good to me. I ain't switching. I ain't changing horses. You should have got me when I didn't know what I know now. You should have got me when I was dumb. You should have got me before he healed me. You should have got me before he saved me. You should have got me before he raised me. It's too late now, and I'm too close. Amen. Amen. I'm closing out. But they went to that boy that was blind. They said, who healed you? We know this man, Jesus. He ain't this and he ain't that. Amen. But the boy didn't get caught up in the theology. He said, I don't know all that. I don't know all about it. But one thing I do know, hey, I was blind, but now I see. Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And he will bless you. Now, will you all listen to me? See, because when you get in a cult, the cult leader will make you want to leave your family for the particular movement. And they want you to worship a man. See, now we're not talking about a cult. What I'm saying is this, that when you get to know the Lord, when you get to know him sure enough, he's going to fix your life.
until you will put everybody second to him. Amen. You'll love the Lord with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, all your soul, all your body. You find every other friend you have at some point will let you down. And God says, that's why I don't want you to get all wrapped up with folks who let you down. He said, I'll make friends for you. But if you put all your hope in someone that's human, they will let you down. Some of us have had the sad experience of having your own parents walk away from you. Some have come up under abusive parents and said things that hurt you. And God is saying, I seen it and I heard it. And I come to deliver you from that. I don't want you. The point is, see, the Bible says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. It didn't mean that God hated Esau. It meant that God was going to bless Jacob so much that you would think he hated Esau. And the Lord's going to fix it for you so that you can handle all that abuse and all that stuff that's got you choked up. God is going to switch you off, take you into his family, counsel you, build you up so that you can handle it. So that whether mama come or don't come, sister come or don't come, instead of being tossed about by every wind of doctrine, you'll be rooted and grounded. You'll stand on a rock. God doesn't want you all broke up because someone didn't call you on the phone. And now you have a bad day because your phone didn't ring. Somebody say something off color to you and there goes half your day. And God said, I want you working for me. I can't have you all tore up because something that, you know, breathe air and ain't, you know, it's not like God is tearing your life up. So God will snatch you from that, build you up, and the Holy Ghost will make you cry out, Abba, Father. It's a new relationship. Amen. Oh, let me leave you alone. And nothing between my soul and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I didn't come to Beulah to get saved. I was saved before I arrived. He saved me a long time before I came to Beulah. And if the Beulahites walk out on Ruffin, I'm still saved. I'm trusting the one who brought me across these many years. Whole lot of folks smiling with you or walk out on you. But I know him for myself. He sticks close. He won't turn me loose. He won't let me go. Can I get a witness here? Anybody here that knows my Jesus? Anybody here? That knows the Lord. Can you say yeah? Can you say yeah? And the same way that fellas used to fight over their girlfriend. Don't want nobody messing with my relationship. So you're going to be jealous of your relationship with the Lord. Don't want nobody butting in or
getting in between me and the Lord. Oh, yes. You and I are friends, but you just come this far now. And you wait right there. Don't come. Because you mess with my relationship. Amen. Amen. At this time, there might be someone here today that's looking for a friend. We invite you to a friend who will never let you down. He'll be there at the midnight hour. When others put you down, he'll pick you up. Him right, it says, and he sticks by me when the going gets tough. Then he said, I got Jesus, and that's enough. I got Jesus, and that's enough. So I was sick. So I didn't tell nobody but the Lord. He heard my plea and came to see about me. He's my all in all. His name is Jesus. This morning we invite you to come. You have to leave your seat at this time and make your way to the front of the sanctuary. We'd like to introduce you to him. He'll do you good. As the choir sings, we're waiting. Why don't you come? Why don't you let him in? He'll make something beautiful out of your life. When the Lord Jesus was on the cross, he cried out to his Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord Jesus gave up a relationship with his Father to get us saved. And he's asking us to give up some relationships to be saved and to help others get saved. Or if you're here this morning, you're really not giving up anything that you won't get back. We're waiting. Won't you come? He's the only one that can straighten it out for you. He's the only doctor who's never lost a patient. And if you're here this morning without a church home, just wandering around looking for a church home, we invite you to come.
Thank the Lord for how He's moving by His Spirit. And yet I'm convicted that there's someone that's here this morning that ought to come. The Lord Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Lord Jesus said, He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll never leave you alone. He'll never leave you by yourself. If you're here, we're just waiting on you. You ought to come. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But if you're in the Lord, it'll be all right. Won't you come? Is there none? Won't you come? Amen.
Savior, Lord of all. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than this world alone. I'd rather
with me, and he talks
with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Oh, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Lord in prayer. I want you to know tonight, I took it to the Lord in prayer. Won't you take it to the Lord in prayer? Isn't the Lord good? Great. He's worthy of praise. Glory to you. a world of care and beats me at my father's throne. Make off my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace one plea, but that thy blood.